Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. We're a short crew right now, but we'll make do. My name is Bob Griswold.
I'm Alan Harrop.
Pat Park.
Well, as I said, we're right now just a minor waiting for other folks, but what we're going to do is start the show and see what we can come up with. I think we're going to start out with a number of things about the election. This is the last show that you will hear before Election Day in November, and I just want to encourage everybody, please go out and vote. Please go out and if this is Saturday morning, go out and vote early today up until 3 p.m. If not, you're going to have to wait till Election Day, but get there early and vote. Make sure you vote. We're going to do a bunch of, election things. Pat, do you want to start us?
Sure. I think we've all heard about Virginia trying to remove ineligible, because apparently they're not all illegal, ineligible voters from their voter rolls within the period of 90 days before the election. Apparently, by statute, that 90 days is called the quiet time, and you're not supposed to disturb the voter rolls during the quiet time. So the Department of Justice sued Virginia to keep them from taking voters off the rolls, and the Supreme Court, Glenn Youngkin, filed an emergency appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court, which found that it was okay for Virginia to continue to remove those. The lib justices all voted for the illegals / ineligibles to remain on the voter rolls and vote. As I said to someone earlier, a lot of times these things turn on some little point of the law that is not as obvious. In this case, this 90-day quiet time is in a federal election, and there are several other states that are dealing with the same issue, and their state courts have ruled on it that both ways, that you can remove them and you can't remove them during the 90 days. Now, Glenn Youngkin declared on the 90th day before the election that they were going to do this. So apparently the question was, can you announce it on the 90th day and then accomplish the actions during the 90 days, or you have to have done it already before the 90 days starts? And apparently the Supreme Court says they announced it by the 90th day. Yeah.
And I think, as you had mentioned a little earlier before we went on the air, that there is a federal law that non-citizens are not allowed to vote.
That's another story that I brought. Supreme Court will address the collision of two federal election laws, those two being the motor voter law and the illegal alien voting by aliens law. And motor voter is one of my pet peeves because, not just because the Clintons did it, but because when North Carolina decided illegals were going to get driver's licenses, that meant they were automatically registered to vote when they got their driver's license. There's no way for motor voter or for the DMV to check their citizenship status. So there we are padding the and this is countrywide.
And you don't really have an opt out nor an opt in option when you're registering to drive.
There appears to be no state that conducts audits of such supposed processes, i.e. finding out whether or not you're a citizen before we register you to vote while we're giving you a driver's license. There's no such state that conducts audits of such processes and releases the detailed process, the audit process, and results to the public. And there appears to be no interest by the federal government in enforcing 18 U.S. Code 611, which is voting by aliens. Attorney General Barr, Bill Barr, remember him? He was apparently unaware there was such a law during the 2020 election. And recently, the director of national intelligence gave briefings on foreign interference in U.S. elections and did not mention the law, nor would respond to questions on whether an illegal alien voting in a U.S. election amounted to foreign interference. Duh. I mean, if you're going to count the 100 Brits that are coming over from...
To campaign, yes.
To campaign for Kamala, if that's foreign interference, I think actually voting, coming to the states and voting in the election would be foreign interference, too. Well, at any rate, somehow this got wound up in the executive order that Glenn Youngkin issued about the issue in Virginia. So open border advocates who are attempting to get as many illegals into the country as possible and sign them up for driver's licenses have a vested interest in ensuring no light is shown on the lack of verifiable and auditable processes to validate U.S. citizenship.
Well,
you know, didn't they have the SAVE Act that the Republicans came up with during the last session of Congress, and the Democrats opposed to it, and it basically was trying to make sure that these non-citizens don't vote. And in North Carolina, they have that amendment that's on the ballot now.
Right.
That everyone who's voting, if you've already voted, then you probably already saw it and may hopefully checked off what you wanted to do. But that was supposedly to clarify the language so to make it less likely that illegals could vote. And interesting, I've been working down at the poll down in Craven Street since they opened, and for the last several days. And what we've been doing is reminding voters that state constitutional amendment was on the ballot, because it's the last thing on the back of the ballot. That's, you know, fine. But every time I would do that, the Democrat electioneers, they would come out and say, no, that's not needed, and it's just not necessary, and we don't have to do this. So, you know, the general thrust of it, well, they were already all, at this point, everyone, all the Democrats that I saw working at did the same thing. So this was obviously something they were prepared to try to inhibit and stop that state constitutional amendment, which, as I understand it, would just make it more difficult within local and state and municipal and county elections of getting illegals voting.
The current law apparently only applies to the federal elections, which would be our U.S. senators, U.S. representatives, and president. But,
right.
But this would bring this amendment would bring it to our state elections also, yeah. State and local elections.
Right, and clarify state law.
Yeah, and it's, you know, but the resistance was really adamant. They were really, really would try to refute everything I said about.
Well, you know, it just kills me that the Democrats pretend, just like they have pretended for so long, that black people are unable to get a driver's license to use for voter ID without themselves being racist.
Yeah.
pretending that being opposed to these kind of efforts are not for the sheer purpose of guaranteeing that illegals vote in our election so that they can consolidate a Democrat one-party country.
Stack the deck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the unfortunate thing about it is every illegal who votes takes away the legitimate vote of a citizen because it potentially negates it. So, but there were some other things that were reported what going on. I heard one today that this is in Pennsylvania, where of course the race is pretty close and every vote counts. There was a particular poll where they were telling voters that the polls were closed at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and they weren't supposed to close it until I think five.
Five.
And they were going in line and telling people, "Well, you're too late. You get out of line." And it was apparently in one of the places they actually had law enforcement officers doing that. They were setting the end of the line at a place. And that's really, that's interfering with a lot, because it's normally what they do is they'll come out, when I've worked the polls, the poll worker will come out and say at a certain time, they will stop the end of the line, but everybody in line from that, before that time, is allowed to vote, but they were reversing that and stopping that. So that's another example. And one more example, I'll be brief with this. There was another incident where there were like 2,500 ballots that were found, and these were absentee ballots, and apparently they did not match. The signatures didn't match, the ID information, so they were caught. And what they were doing is the Democratic Party up there in Pennsylvania is paying people to deliver these absentee ballots. So if you the more money you want to make, the more the incentive is to fraudulize those, or you know
they did that in 2020.
Yeah, well, they're trying to do it again. Now they were caught this time, but you know, for everyone that's caught, you wonder how many others where it's happening that aren't being stopped. So the idea that this election is going to be trustworthy and valid and all that stuff, there's a lot of loopholes that still need to be checked on.
What about the guy that set on fire the ballots in Arizona inside the...
One of the drop boxes, yes.
One of the drop... It was belonged to the U.S. Mail.
I understand.
It wasn't just an election one. It was a standalone U.S. Mail. And then there were two others, one in Oregon and one in Washington State, yeah, that were also burnt.
Yeah.
The investigation shows that the one in Oregon and Washington State are linked because of the surveillance camera has shown the same car at both locations.
Yeah.
But this guy that's down in Arizona, if you see his mugshot, he looks like he's three enchiladas missing full plate. He said it didn't have anything to do with the election. He just wanted to be arrested. And so the police are announcing, this absolutely has nothing to do with the election. Please move along. There is nothing to see here.
Yeah, and I understand. I think this might have been in the Washington incident that one of the people who had set it off, I had put something about Gaza on, save Gaza, or something. There was some kind of message about the war in between Israel and Hamas on the message as part of the motivation, I guess.
Really? Because the only thing I've heard about that is the guy that was sentenced to life with no parole for hitting Pelosi in the head.
Oh, Pelosi's husband.
Gave his last comments, as he's allowed by law, were about Gaza.
Yeah, he had been convicted of a federal crime, and now the state crime has convicted him. A state court has convicted him and sentenced him to
life without parole.
Without parole.
Yeah, that's equal justice.
That's only fair. Yeah.
Yeah, that's equal justice.
You know, I want to bring up one other quick thing, and folks, we're going to run over time, but that's okay. In a startling incident in Delaware County, Pennsylvania, GOP committee woman Val, I'm just going to say her name is Val. She was detained by local authorities Monday after encouraging voters to stay in line and cast their ballots at a polling station. She had been an advocate about staying in line because people were telling folks to get out of line and go back home and vote some other time. They took her away in handcuffs.
And they handcuffed her to a bench.
And handcuffed her to a bench. Yeah. Folks were just got a lot of various things going on. Pat, you also wanted to add in the Nevada ballot. Nevada is allowing...
Oh, right. The Nevada Supreme Court has ruled that mail-in ballots with no postmark will be allowed to be counted within 3 days of the election.
Mail-in ballots that hasn't been mailed in.
Can be counted.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
That's an invitation to fraud.
That's quite an invitation to fraud. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. We'll be right back. This is a CCTA Wake Up Call show.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, just people in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Thanks for listening to our sponsors and supporters. We're going to continue on. Alan, you wanted to take us off on a not very distant direction from what we've been talking about.
Yeah, it may show desperation, or may just show typical strategies that Democrats use when they can't win on the issues. So they don't want to discuss issues. So what do? They turn around and they attempt to smear the candidate. And we've seen that with Mark Robinson. We've seen it, of course, with Trump. And this has really gotten really out of hand at the Madison Square Garden rally that Trump had. They were accusing him of
reenacting
Hitler. Yeah, reenacting Hitler because in 1936, apparently they had a gathering or at Madison's, the old Madison's.
The old one.
And you know.
And it was by people who supported the German government at that time, which was run by Hitler.
By the way, Alan, to MSNBC apparently interspersed pictures of that 1935 rally with the Trump rally pictures.
Yeah, to show this, yeah.
Hillary said he was reenacting it, and she wrote about it in her book, and they purposely picked this place because of the historical association. Her husband accepted the nomination for president at Madison Square Garden. Was that a reenactment?
Maybe he's a Hitler, right? But the thing about it is, historically, in 1936... this is before Hitler's true colors emerged. And I spent 3.5 years in Germany with the military. And I got to meet and talk to a lot of German nationals. And almost uniformly, they said that in the mid-1930s, that Germany was doing very, very well. This is before the war started, and they were recovering from the Depression and from the Treaty of Versailles that was very detrimental to Germany in terms of money they had to pay and so on. So life in Germany was very positive for most of the people who were there. And so the people in this country, which my family, my mother's side of family, they came over from Germany. They thought things were going real well. And it was kind of like, well, it's going so well in Germany, and the United States wasn't doing very well in 1936, that's for sure. So it was kind of like, well, you know, maybe there's some things going on in Germany that we could learn from and help pull us out of the Depression. So it wasn't like that gathering at Madison Square Garden was actually supporting the negative things, the terrible things that Hitler did later on. It was while he was still doing some of the positive things when he first got in office. So it was all
trying to recover out of context,
just to smear Trump. And then, of course, the latest one was last night, I think, that Biden came out with that comment that Trump supporters are garbage. And now they're trying to walk that back. So I guess we're either deplorables or we're garbage or we're Nazis. So you
terrorists.
We're terrorists too. So
I think choose
your poison.
I think Trump picked up on that garbage quote fairly quickly and just said, "Folks, would you want a president that thinks half of his population is garbage?"
Well, apparently, what the comedian was referring to that nobody tends to make clear is that there is an issue in Puerto Rico right now about garbage removal on the island.
Yeah. On the island.
The island is full of garbage that the government is refusing to
remove. Do anything.
And he made an allusion to that floating garbage island. And Biden tweaked that into, yeah, we're all garbage.
Yeah.
But, you know, they just look for things to smear the candidate. They don't want to discuss Kamala's economic plans or her plans for dealing with the border or her plans for dealing with the other major problems the country's having. They just want to attack the individual. And for some people, it works. It's amazing how there are some people, voters, who they hear something. Well, I'm not voting for that person. His personality, I don't like his personality. Or he did something 20 years ago that I don't like. So I'll never vote for him.
You know, I always want to ask those people, did you do anything in your life 20 years ago that we should now scorn you? Just checking, because I don't want to be associating with anybody whose character I must condemn.
Well, folks, I went away to college on a drinking scholarship, and that was not healthy for me. You know, I also would like to bring up President Trump. And by the way, we keep hearing some of the news things call about Mr. Trump, but it's still President Obama and it's still President Clinton, but it's Mr. Trump. Joe Rogan did essentially a three-hour show with President, and just casual talk about everything under the sun, apparently. And it was a good conversation. It's a podcast that's been viewed, I think, 37 or 39 million times now.
So
the other thing that came up was that apparently Kamala's folks and Joe Rogan can't quite get together because she wanted Joe to go where she was and only do a one-hour interview. And he says, no, come to my studio and we'll talk for however long.
She also said that there were certain topics and issues that she did not want him to bring up. So she was limiting what was being said. But, you know, this business about calling Trump Hitler, he's had two assassination attempts. Okay, and the more that the opposing side uses this tactic, the more it makes Trump vulnerable to people who see this themselves as, I'm going to save the world. If this guy's another Hitler, I've got to take him out before he does all the bad things that Hitler did. And, you know, it's really the kind of rhetoric that I've never seen it in my lifetime. And it's becoming just a typical part of the Democrat playbook.
Well, instead of just the smearing is bad enough, but the lies, just absolute lies, saying that this plan 2025, which the Heritage Foundation put out, is his. I saw an ad while I was watching football. That's not his plan. He's disavowed that plan. Somebody was being interviewed on one of the networks, and they said, that's not his plan. And the woman said, well, his plan is Plan 47. It's the same as 2025. And the guy was gobsmacked, and he just looked at her, and she said, that's an awful smug way you're looking at me, sir. Yeah, because people that are willing to lie take my breath away. But this Tim Walz told Duke students that your name's on a list. My name's on a list, and he's going to use the military to take me out, and your name's on that list, too. What?
You know, it's all, and the truth, you know, it just proves that truth is not a left-wing value. And it's interesting. I saw a really revealing little videotape that it was on some podcast, and this goes went back to when Kamala was she the Attorney General for the whole state of California?
Right.
Whole
mm-hmm.
state of California. Okay, and she had just gotten in her office, and they were interviewing her, and she was sitting there smirking about what she was going to do to the parents of children who were not attending school. So if they were vagrants, you know, they weren't going to school. And so she had this law she put in. She was going to have them arrested.
The
and
parents.
That's what she, yeah, and she's and she was sitting there. It was so revealing. She's sitting there cackling and laughing. I can do this just with the stroke of my pen.
Well, I could
and
do
she
it
said
when
that
I was.
Several, she said that
I
several
could do
times.
That when I was district attorney.
Well, but the point is, she was so gleeful over the power that she had over doing whatever she wanted to do. So it was very revealing about her personality and her approach to things.
And by the way, Alan, to that point, she did have a mother arrested whose child was in the hospital
yes.
for 5 days.
Yeah, that was one of the examples.
Yeah.
But I do want to say, welcome, Glenn. Welcome, Kim.
Well, I'll chip in on the Rogan thing. I don't know if it was already stated before I sat down, but I understand it was difficult to get to that podcast for quite a while. It was somehow manipulated to avoid access by many people. So the amount you said has been listened to. Sounds like an amazing number for a slow
start.
I think
it was just overloaded, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, Glenn, how's it going on in Craven County, by the way? Based on what I downloaded, we are just shy of 50% of the eligible voters having voted.
That's accurate, I'd say. And the higher Republicans have the highest percentage of their own party, and then it's Democrats have the next highest, and unaffiliateds have the least, which you would expect because they're not committed to a party.
Right.
So you'd expect that. But a lot of people have voted, and even if it's been turning out 4% a day, roughly, and if even if it's 2%, we'll hit 60. You know, even if it's 2%, the rest of the early vote days will hit 60,
yeah.
which is amazing on early vote. That's
how does that 50% compare to, say, previous elections?
Oh, it's super high at this point.
Much higher?
Yeah.
Much higher?
I think it's higher, and I think it's fairly high across the whole state.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters, and catch a quick breath. We'll be right back. This is CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers, and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Welcome back. And again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Pat, you're going to...
I wanted to make one last comment about Kamala not appearing on Joe Rogan. Apparently, his invitation is still open. But somebody from her campaign tweeted out that how dare he require her to come to his studio and sit for 3 hours. Doesn't he know she's the VP? And he's just, you know, a nobody, and she's a busy woman, and she doesn't have 3 hours. And the comments on that tweet were brutal against the tweeter.
Well, remember, she also lost a whole number of employees while she's been VP, and I think back when the DA, because she wouldn't allow certain employees to look her in the eye.
Yeah, well... We all know the real reason she doesn't want to do 3 hours, because she can't talk for 3 hours without a teleprompter. And yelling, Trump is Hitler. He's literally, literally Hitler. What else do I have to say?
Alan, you wanted to take us somewhere else.
Yeah, just a couple of comments about my observations at the polls. As I think I said earlier, I've been working down at the polls for several days now. The early voting site down at Craven Street. And by the way, well, this is kind of late in the process by the time the show goes on, but the lines are fairly short. You can get in and out pretty easily now. But anyway, interesting, I met a young lady. I was giving her voter information, asked if she wanted it. She said, yes, I'm Republican now, I'm dedicated, so on. And she was really talking about how she got to be a Republican. She said she used to be a Democrat. And she was a young lady. She was in her early mid-20s, I guess. And she said that she had gone to East Carolina University and that she was part of groups that were being sent to China. And I thought this was just something happening with tampon Tim Walz about his taking students to China. But she said this was happening out of East Carolina. They would take them around, show them different parts of China, and then they come back. And that's what she really found out. It really changed her mind about what the realities were of China. So China did not accomplish their objective with her. But that really surprised me. I didn't realize what was happening at East Carolina University. And I didn't get the details of when and so on and so forth. The other thing that I observed, there was going down the line and I'm handing out this information or asking people if they wanted it. And this one guy says to me, he says, I hate Trump. I said, oh, well, okay. I mean, you know, I didn't ask him why. He says, I hate him so much, I wish he had been shot. I wish they had killed him when they were shooting at him. So getting back to what we're talking about calling people Hitler and stuff, there are some potential real dangerous people out there. I'm not saying this guy would actually go through it, but he was vehemently angry and hostile. And the other thing I had an experience with, I had the opportunity to talk with some of the people from the Democrat side that were electioneering, and somehow the conversation came up about, you know, why they weren't voting for Trump, what they had against him, and I asked them, what did Trump do in his first 4 years that you think was detrimental to the country? Okay, because I thought they'd have a list of things they didn't like, and so. And it boils down to it was one topic, abortion. That's what was the key factor. And the things they said about it were so seemingly unrealistic. Like, they denied that there were ever any abortions in the ninth month, mm-hmm. eighth or ninth month. They said that wasn't legal under Roe. And I said, well, it was legal under Roe because they were doing it in different places throughout the country. They said, no. And boy, did she get upset. She got so emotional about it. She went into the lady in charge of the polls and comes out and was, you know, accusing me of upsetting her. So, I mean, ask a question. I mean, how dare you deal with the facts of an issue? And
talk to another adult about an adult topic.
Yeah.
And make her upset.
I was the bad guy.
Yeah.
And the other thing they mentioned, which I don't know whether anybody knows about this, they said, and I said, well, you know, it's now at the state level because that's consistent with the Constitution. The Constitution says if it's not explicitly authorized for the federal government, it's supposed to go back to states. Okay. I think most people know that. But
I said,
if somebody's in the state and it's restrictive, they can always go to another state. And they said, no, you can't do that. They won't let you do that. They won't let you cross the state line. And they pointed out Texas. They said, in Texas, you cannot leave the state to get an abortion in another state. Has anybody ever heard of that?
No.
You got someone stopping every car saying, anyone pregnant in there?
Yeah.
ridiculous.
I was shocked at how their understanding of the facts was so distorted. They didn't think they were killing babies in the ninth month. They didn't think that the states had the right to determine it. And they didn't think you could travel from one state to another. I mean, this is what they believe.
Alan, don't confuse me with facts.
I know. I know. I was. They made a serious mistake, but you know, they were totally misinformed about something that they were very vehement about. It was their major issue when they were. They didn't know the facts.
So did you get reprimanded by the official?
Me? No.
Yeah.
I'm old enough to remember when the women's movement started in the early 70s. And abortion was an issue back then because we didn't have abortion until Roe came out in 1973. And I was very strong in the women's movement for a number of years until it was, number one, taken over by lesbians. So I left at that point. But now it amazes me that abortion is a sacrament. You cannot be a feminist unless you're all in on abortion. And to be all in on abortion, you've got to be up to 9 months and maybe a couple of days after that. That abortion is okay. No limits on abortion, any reason, any time, any state. Yes, ma'am.
What I find really reprehensible in the discussion about abortion is they call it women's reproductive rights. Well, it is not a reproductive right if you're killing what was there. How is that reproducing anything?
Well, our rights are granted to us by God. And I get irritated when I hear them start talking about civil rights, right this, right that, because within the context of our government, the rights that God has given us is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Certain rights that are enumerated in the Constitution. And there's nothing in there about reproductive rights.
Well, they were also talking, Ms. Kamala was talking in the debate about women bleeding to death because she wasn't allowed to have an abortion. That sounds like she would bleed to death maybe if it was a botched abortion, but those cases would still have to be very minimal, but they were trying to act like this is a women's health issue, and it is not. It's a matter of they choose. They don't want to have the responsibility of having a baby. They don't want to carry the baby and put the baby up for adoption, which I think is horrible. I think they should put the babies up for adoption. I think there are gray areas in incest and rape. Those are the two areas that I struggle with on a moral, religious level.
Well, the Bible says the sin doesn't transfer to the child.
No, I'm just saying how difficult it would be as a survivor of rape that resulted in pregnancy.
Well, if you're
that
a Christian, the answer should be fairly simple.
You know, I'm gonna. By the way, for anybody that's actually looking up and down the ballot, there's a guy on the ballot for president, Terry Randall, who was the abortion opponent back in the 70s. And by the way, my wife and I both were very active in and outside, trying to counsel outside of abortion clinics. And I got throttled by the police a few times and whatever else, and a number of folks have got arrested. But what we did notice back at that time, and again, this is the 70s, is that the people, Pat, I think you sort of alluded to this in the latter 70s, the people that really stood out, the abortionists, in quotes, were the gays and the lesbians. They don't have a, quote, they don't have an
a
issue.
Dog in the hunt?
They don't have a dog in the hunt, but they were, again, it's the proponents were a coalition of splinter groups. They didn't care what the issue was as long as they came together on that one issue. And that's not a lot different today. They're trying to come together on the one issue, not really understanding the issue.
Well, and if they weren't to do that, they would never get a large enough group to have an impact. So these groups align on anything that can be captured under a splinter group.
Well, you know, you get to the issue of abortion, the Catholic Church solves it very easily. Life begins at the point of conception, the moment of conception. So that child is a human being.
With a soul.
And that is like, yeah, but that unity and with a soul. So, you know, you don't have to get down to, well, is it 6 weeks? Is it 12 weeks? Is it when the heartbeat can be detected, or when the child can live on its own outside the womb? I mean, it kind of hard to define it, but that's the way they did it. They kept it real simple. Moment of conception, everything else is evil.
Especially when as medicine goes along, the opportunity to survive has gone earlier and earlier and earlier into the pregnancy process.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a dangerous topic, that's for sure. And I think as long as they can make political hay with it, they're going to try to. And even the least educated among us knows that it has become a state's issue, but they still try to make it a federal issue by saying that Trump is going to do a federal abortion ban, when he has many times said he would veto any such legislation.
It is not a federal issue. That's right.
There's a problem with ballot printing in Nevada County, California. There's imperfections in the barcodes. I think it's overspray from the ink. So their ballot counting machines can't read the mail-in ballots.
Oh, no.
So they're looking at 77,000 mail-in ballots.
California.
In California. Wow. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for staying with CCTA Wake Up Call. Stop in at E70 Porn for great deals. Drew and his knowledgeable staff have been serving the New Bern area since 1989. We always try to help our customers with friendly and honest service. Our crew is what sets us apart. Treating folks like how we want to be treated is our standard. People appreciate great service plus great prices, and that's what we're all about. Our shop is like no other. We specialize in guns, jewelry, and ammo, but we have so much more. We have the largest selection of new and used firearms, coins, collectibles, musical instruments, and tools. Our new jewelry selection is growing daily. Find us at 3317 Highway 70 East of New Bern. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Also, check out our website for many, many collectibles, east70pawn.com. East 70 Pawn is your one-stop shop to buy, sell, trade, or cash loans quickly, conveniently, and confidentially.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Pat, you're gonna take us in a different direction or the same direction?
A little bit different. I have an American Thinker article, which is available online at americanthinker.com. And the article is entitled, "With All the Anti-Trump Hitler Rhetoric, Are Democrats Planning a Post-Election Coup?"
Well, they've already had a coup. It was called getting Kamala in as the candidate.
Well,
good point.
No, this is violence. I think we're going to see, if Trump wins, we're going to see burning down neighborhoods, violent looting.
Like the summer love.
Yes, exactly. I think that's what we're going to see.
The summer of joy.
And that the it's going to try to rock his administration so that he has to invoke the Insurrection Act and then... He
Martial
will be
law.
Hitler. Yeah, then he will be Hitler. And or alternative, the Democrats in the House refuse to certify the election if he gets elected. What happens then?
Well, I would imagine that the Supreme Court would get involved like they did last time.
One would hope.
And the other thing that I was wondering about would be, after Election Day, before inauguration, that period of time, there could be such chaos that they do martial law where they would not certify an election, would do a continuance of government.
Well, there's a transition period. I mean, it's not like on Election Day, the government transitions.
Right, that's what I'm talking about. So there could be a lot of damage done between November and...
I think one of the wise decisions that I heard from President Trump is that he is not going to take advantage of the federal transition team. He
Good.
Will have his own transition Good. Team.
He learned from last time.
He learned.
When
right.
they intercepted all his files, they took all his files, they spied on him. Yeah.
Well, he also took their advice and recommendations on staff and cabinet picks, which was a mistake. Big time.
Big time.
Right? I can name several.
At any rate, they just had an exercise in the Capitol where they had three helicopters landing and they were practicing controlling the Capitol. There are people that are actively planning for violence. In other words, to anticipate violence occurring. I'm not talking about people that are planning to become violent, but people in the government.
Well, you're a gray area there, whether they may be planning to become violent.
What was that guy's? No, I'm talking about people in the government.
Yes, I know.
Planning to anticipate violence.
And who was the instigator in January 6th? What was his name that he was never brought up?
Epps. Ray Epps. They got him, but he got probation.
Yeah, I know. Just, it's only fair, yeah.
Yeah. He didn't
get... So what do we do to try to minimize the opportunities for that? There's not a whole lot you can do. You could do some preparing, like put your National Guard troops on alert or something to that effect, but I think that the rage is going to be manipulated either way, actually. If Trump loses, I would expect that there's going to be people that feel like I do and feel like there was shenanigans and that it wasn't fair. And I don't know that we're going to know on election night who wins. There's going to be counts and recounts and all kinds of craziness like there's been in the past. I think that they will try to delay as long as possible.
There's going to be the instigators. And yeah.
So this, the last election, I still believe was clearly stolen. There was a whole lot of evidence about it, and no one lit a building on fire. I'm not saying Act Two wouldn't put people over, but the conservatives don't tend to light cities on fire, even if they're really mad.
Well, I don't think two conservatives would dare stand in front of the Capitol to complain about something after what the government's done to the J6ers.
My point, I don't think we're at risk of, if it goes Harris, and that things are going to get crazy.
I agree with you.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Now, on the other side, I would be surprised if there isn't at least some of that.
Well, last time, in January of 2016, we had the smashing of the windows in D.C. and the Pussy Hat Brigade, and we had all that nonsense going on Inauguration Day.
Right.
But considering what has developed between that period of time and this Hitler crescendo of rhetoric, I'm afraid of what's going to happen if Trump wins.
I'm afraid of what will happen if he doesn't.
Well, both ways, but I'm afraid of immediate violence.
I think the thing that we had heard about, I'm going back a couple of months, we had expected them to invoke martial law just before Election Day. Now we're coming we're coming up on Election Day, and I know that the number of ballots that have been submitted right now in early voting is quite the number. People are getting out.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
This discussion brings up this issue that the Democrats are always accusing President Trump of being, and that is, quote, a threat to democracy. Of course, we don't have a democracy, we have a republic. They got that wrong, but anyway. But if you look at the proposals from the Harris campaign and from the Democrats in general, like a lot of cases, they're the ones that are the actual threats. For example, one of the things they want to do is they want to do away with the Electoral College system. And that, was built into the Constitution to ensure that small states had some, some claim or some ability to assert their wishes and their desire instead of just being controlled by the big states with the big cities.
It's the population,
strictly population.
New York,
so that's one thing.
And that
would be a direct threat to the Constitution. Okay. Second thing they want to do, they want to pack the court. They want to go back to what Franklin Roosevelt tried to do during the 1930s. He couldn't get all his,
his
New Deal
yeah.
things through Congress or get them through the court. And so he wanted to expand from, 9 to 12 or something? He wanted to expand it. And so that, again, would undermine the entire court process, which is, one of the three pillars that have maintained this country. And so they want to do that. Also, the obvious thing about the illegals voting, they want to they're going to, you know, they want to allow these people not only to stay, but he wants to, they will want to make them all citizens, you know, with amnesty and whatever else they're going to come up with.
But I heard on the radio on the way here today that the Virginia issue with the illegal the people that were supposed to vote that were removed from the voter rolls, and then the circuit judge or district judge said that they needed to be put back on the ballot. There was a ruling today that says Virginia can absolutely take them off of the voter rolls.
Yeah, it went up to Supreme Court.
We
talked about that before you got here.
Oh, thanks.
But again, the rehashing, and again, so that there's the conflict of that, and was it the motor voter law?
My pet peeve, motor voter law.
Oh, us too.
SCOTUS is going to look at the confluence of the motor voter law and the aliens voting law, which says they can't vote.
Right.
We actually already have one.
Right.
Federal law.
And there's another issue that we're all aware of, the fact that big governments like our federal government's gotten so big that the government agencies begin to actually write law. In other words, they begin to enforce things and come up with regulations so that are not based on anything the Congress has actually passed. And it was something I was reading the other day. It was about farmers. And I think this was occurring in, pretty sure it was in North Carolina. And the issue had to do with whether these migrant workers, they bring these migrant workers in, whether they have the same right to unionize and for collective bargaining and the same sort of rights that citizens have, where the farmers that employ them now have to give them all these, quote, privileges like sick days and give them all this stuff, which is, and the Bureau of Labor, the Federal Bureau of Labor, is saying they have this right, where in reality there's no law that allows them to have these rights. So right away we've got, so that's being this law, this regulation out of the Bureau of Labor, is Department of Labor, is actually being challenged in court by the Farm Bureau and some that are trying to defend the farmers' rights, and so we'll see where that goes.
Well, if it goes up to the Supreme Court has issued a couple of rulings this year that infringe. Remember, they overthrew the Chevron Doctrine.
Yeah.
So they are attempting to put limits on federal agencies making law.
Pat, I have a question. When somebody immigrates to our country legally and they go to become a citizen and they take a citizenship test, is that test given to them in English or in their
English.
Language? Okay, so tell me why we see signs along the highways in Spanish telling the Spanish people to vote Democrat, and we have signs telling the people that are illegals, if you vote, it is illegal. These signs are in Spanish. There are signs right now on Highway 55 that are in Spanish that are basically saying vote Democrat. Those people that are reading that sign would have to be an illegal to be going to vote.
Not necessarily.
If they're a citizen, why do they have to have a sign in Spanish?
Well, you can
because they should know English.
Well, yeah, you can learn enough English to pass the test. But you're still most comfortable in your native language. But there's plenty of people living in this country that don't speak English. Don't you remember when Obama tried to shame us all because we don't speak Spanish?
I'm just saying, if you can't read English, you shouldn't be voting.
You won't get an argument out of me.
Folks, we're going to close out the show. Glenn,
I was just going to say labor contracts are different than other things. I mean, that's a union work group, and that's labor law. That's not the other constitutional stuff.
Folks, we're going to close out the show, but I think we also want to remind everybody, again, you're hearing the show over the weekend, their voting will happen on Tuesday, and you must vote in your own precinct. And you cannot do same-day registration on Election Day.
Go vote.
go vote.
But since this show is going to start on, we'll be broadcast the first time on Saturday morning. That would still be the early voting period. You have till 3 o'clock to register and vote at the same early voting place if they need to do that.
And folks, make sure you vote both sides of the ballot, top to bottom. And we appreciate your joining us for the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Have a great week.